This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Thrilled today to get to visit with Matt Wolf. Matt's a senior leader at RSM. He's one of the most brilliant people when it comes to the intersection of private equity and healthcare. He talks to us regularly about the trends he's watching in private equity. Matt, let me tee it up and ask you, what are a couple of things that you're watching closely currently in private equity? What does deal flow look like? What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, happy to talk about that, Scott. I mean, I think we continue to see the capital markets sort of come to terms with the credit environment, right? We're now in a new credit cycle. We've definitely left the zero interest rate policy environment, likely never to return. And we still have some legs on this. It's going to take some time yet before deal flow, deal makers, investors, lenders, advisors, LPs, everybody sort of comes to grips with exactly what does a higher interest rate environment, different lending conditions, what all does that mean for the deal environment? But we're starting to see signs of that settle, at least in some ecosystems, right? Healthcare being one of them. You know, we still have healthcare specifically, and I expect in other ecosystems as well, we still have a problem in many corners where sellers are expecting to get the high multiples that their colleagues got or that they've seen published over the, you know, last year or so ago or more. Sellers still have high multiple expectations, at least in some ecosystems. Those have yet to come down generally, I would say, but we're starting to see capital markets come to terms with the credit cycle, where we're going to be, and realize that we're going to be here for the foreseeable future. And that is improving deal flow, at least in some corners of the ecosystems.
I mean, there is a sense that interest rates are not going that much higher if they go higher. And that gives people a sense of, okay, we sort of see at least somewhat into the future. So that's comforting for deals. The cost of capital, the cost of financing is still really high right now. But you're starting to see some bolt-on deals, some platform deals. What are you sort of seeing currently?
Yeah, I mean, that's the increased cost of capital is going to be a real challenge for funds that, you know, pretty much every existing fund that had invested heavily prior to this change in the credit cycle, right? Because in order to hit investment rate return thresholds, they're going to need to see those elevated multiples. They're going to need to create some sort of growth in order to manage those returns amid that higher cost of capital. Inorganic growth, those bolt-on acquisitions are now just more expensive. And it's going to take a different kind of playbook to, you know, realize the returns that funds need to realize when 60, 80 or more percent of their portfolio was invested back when the Fed funds rate was effectively zero. And that is going to challenge. That's part of the shakeout that we're going to see really over the next 3 to 5 years. Some funds will turn to secondary funds. We're even seeing some GP-led secondary funds as funds try to manage this new environment, generate at least some sort of cash returns while we all kind of reposition for the new regime.
Thank you. And what is your sense of private equity funds still are very intent on putting money to work? Do you see them sort of spinning their wheels or getting deals done? What are you sort of seeing currently? Because they're trying not to let people go. They run a pretty leveraged model as it is, trying to put a lot of billions of dollars over a small amount of people. So I don't see them doing massive layoffs or looking at layoffs. But spinning their wheels currently are sort of busy trying to improve current deals or look at deals. What's the sense of what you see out there?
Yeah, I think it's really a renewed focus on improving operations of existing portfolio companies, renewed focus on organic growth. I've talked to some sponsors where I think it made sense for them, at least, may not make sense for every fund, but, you know, they've really leaned into it and they've actually hired more operating partners. One fund I was talking to, they went from call it three or four operating partners to now they have about a dozen, because they're really just going to focus on improving the operations of their existing portfolios, of their existing portfolio companies, because they're not going to focus on buying more. It just doesn't make sense for them right now and their investment thesis and where they play. I'm not suggesting that's for every fund, but I've seen that reaction to it, which I think is again makes sense. So focus on the operations, focus on the organic growth, where, you know, we just got to find different and new ways to add value. And to your point about the leverage of these shops, I think a lot of them have been slow to lay people off, and I think that makes sense, right? I mean, they're all very lean operations. They employ very intelligent people who know a lot about these spaces, know a lot about the markets, and you just got to find a new way to leverage that talent as we seek those returns. One other additional thing that we are seeing too, I mean, you know, not just in the actual portfolio companies, but actually at the sponsors, is leveraging generative AI types of tools, right? How can we use something like ChatGPT or its competitors to compile and synthesize a bunch of research that previously would have taken, you know, some poor analyst 3 days to review and write up? Well, now we can do it in 20 minutes, right? So how can we leverage some of these tools to help us find an edge as we're trying to not only source new deals, but improve existing ones?
No, 100%. I mean, it's fascinating to watch people start to work with those types of things and trying to figure out what does it really mean in terms of personnel, depending on what business you're in, and how good is it at sorting through in this mix of intuition versus analysis versus data. Reminds me of Moneyball, when people used to look at players and say, he looks like a good kid, he looks like he's got a good attitude, versus the hardcore analytics. And I assume that, you know, obviously in the investment world, they've moved towards hardcore analytics a long time ago, but the use of AI and ChatGPT and all those things, it's just going to move things even further in that direction towards hardcore analytics, and then trying to figure out the human touch. Is this founder, is this CEO, is he or she really driven, or is he or she really capable of building teams and so forth and so on? That'll still be very, very important, very human touch driven, but so much of the back end work or the getting prepped work will be AI driven, it seems like.
Yeah, I think that's right. And that's the right lens to look at, whether you're thinking about your own kind of private equity shop or a portfolio company, or really just an application of these generative AI tools in general, is what are the tasks or functions that we want to automate, that we want to replace, but not necessarily the roles, right? We still need these roles. Unemployment is still very low, right? There's not a huge untapped resource of skilled people out there. So let's use these tools to, augment our human workforce. And I think the winners will be not only the private equity firms, but also the portfolio companies that can figure out how to best do that.
Fascinating. Matt, as always, I want to thank you for joining us on the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast. One of the smartest guys there is, and just a pleasure as always to get a chance to visit with you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.